Okay, this is a session with Nelson, being recorded on November 17th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:42 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good evening.
Okay, Nelson, it sounds a bit different. He's on a cell phone.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, hey, Ion.
Hey.
It's always funny starting the sessions with you because I don't know whether it's just so commonplace to ask how you're doing, but it's kind of redundant.
Well, we don't how and we rarely do, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we do, but it's okay. You'd say, hi, Ion, and we'd say, we are.
All right, so I'll stick with hi.
Hi, yes, we are. Very good. Okay.
Yeah. Now, pretty much what I had planned for this session was to go through and over the formula-related stuff.
Okay.
But I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about vibration, and I want to talk about other aspects.
Talk about frequency, polarity, and magnetism. Good. Go ahead.
Frequency, polarity, and magnetism.
Now, and also
clear?
I just want to talk about, now we're talking about ultimately the frequency of existence.
No, existence doesn't have a frequency. Everything in what you call that is in your existence has a frequency, but existence itself is frequency less.
Okay, so everything in the future has a frequency that is able to be determined
now?
There is no
future. There is no future. There's only now.
Okay, so every single moment is what is.
There are no moments. Moments are the attributed space of time. Time keeps on slipping into the future. That's the problem with time. It puts it in a nebulous place that is not.
Okay.
See, that'll help you. That'll help you. You may have to chew on it a little bit, but...
Is there past?
Never. There's only now.
So, how is... this,
we're not having no how,
oh, yeah,
brown
yeah.
cow,
this
crap.
Formula, I know, I remember.
Yeah,
this
helping.
This formula works by analyzing or by...
No.
What's
Nelson,
the...
Okay, good. Yeah, to keep you from blowing your brains out, let's help a little bit here. All you're trying to do is you're gauging a frequency within a sine, cosine, wavelength, within a triangulated position. That's 3 points that you've identified. And if you can identify and plot that frequency, you can tell from tangent to tangent within a spatial reality, if that's what you want to say, the outcome. That's all. Now, once you do this a little bit and get good at it, you'll know. But if you don't know, then triangulate. Okay? We used to say if you can't remember, triangulate. Now we say if you can know, you don't have to triangulate. That's a good day.
1 second, I'm just going to wait for the siren. They're not coming up to pick up Bob, are they?
Are they in Toronto or Georgia?
Georgia.
Okay.
So
I guess they're going to kick out the occupiers in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going to be
the
result of this whole?
No. Stay on the topic. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Come on.
Well, you want to, but Bob is serving you here.
No, I agree with him. I don't want to jump off. Okay, so that was a very, very good. That was a very good way to put it. You just the way you explained it.
Yeah.
The frequency
it's
relative
the reason,
to the...
It's the reason to do it. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get you to a position to where... Well, come on in. To get you to the position to where you can know. And then every aspect of your reality, as that's what you want to call, will be new. K-N-E-W.
Okay.
I knew this is how it was going to come out. I knew this was meant for me. I knew I could get this pregnant. I knew I could get it wet. Yes, I knew I could balance my genome by not spurning the sperm. Yes, I knew that I could be happy. I knew that this is how it was going to come out. I knew this is how it was going to go. I knew it. I knew it. Good. Because they talk about, your daddy talks about there's a new heaven and a new earth. You'll have a new name written in glory. Well, he just doesn't know it's spelled K-N-E-W.
So, the what you're saying is the formula or the understanding and being at one with the reality that that it is frequency allows you to get to a place where you don't need the formula.
Well, where you can identify the frequency instantly.
Okay. So that frequency that you're looking for is derived.
No, you're not looking for, because if you're looking for, you don't have it. That you are identifying, maybe aligning with, maybe adjusting polarity regarding, maybe setting magnetism, which will repel acumen regarding it. So that's right.
Okay, so that's derived from the triangulation process and looking at the space between two known tangents of the wave itself.
Yes.
And is, for example, the last one I did was in late September, I think, or no, because I don't know. I think it was late September-ish. It was for a section of the Euro Odd on the on October the 1st. And I chose a blatant section where over a couple days it moved like a big move up. Over a couple days it moved 1,000 pips, okay?
Right.
And I have the whole triangulation laid out, and I have the intersection point is derived off of the circles, the proper circles around each point, point A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know I don't know how standardized the way it's perceived on paper relative to how I'm doing it on paper versus how someone who's doing it successfully is doing it, or how you envision
it. We can make it yours. We don't use paper. JW doesn't use paper.
Well, but he would be at the point where he would just know the frequency or knew the frequency.
Well, he attaches to it, yes.
So before he was capable of doing that, how was he figuring it out?
Oh,
he was figuring it out by...
He actually calculated it out.
Just with
he used a stone. That's what he used. Then he would move little pieces within a stone where those alignments already were.
That's like the scene in The Event. In The Event, you see that operation, right, Ion?
That's a representation, yes.
Yeah. You see the guy, the old guy, moving little pebbles on a geometric chart with triangles and arcs and things. Okay, so JW did do diagramming, Nelson.
Okay.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to, I just want to solidify is that everything that I'm focusing and progressing on is on base, you know what I mean? So,
Well, okay. But see, on base means I'm not.
Oh, that's true.
See, if you're asking if it's on base, then obviously it isn't. So we say embrace it, play with it until it works for you, and when it works for you, then it will. And then when it will, then whosoever will, then it you do.
But
you see?
If yes. But if there are issues with the way I'm progressing through the calculation, it's not...
There aren't issues. You're thinking about it. Cease that. This is not a thinking man's game.
Yeah, I
thinking
may very
not,
well be.
Because thinking just fucks you up.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Well, there you go. You see, just go with it. Okay, what if we said, hey, Nelson, you have a penis, right?
Yes.
And sometimes you get an erection, right?
Yes.
Well, what if we said that erection was preeminently aligning a frequency for you having an orgasm? And you'd say,
okay.
You say, okay. Then you'd say, okay. So then you have a stimulus, something you would see, your visual bias, that may cause you to attain an erection. Well, that'd be different, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But the outcome would be the same, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So now you got it. Now you have a good magnetism realm to compare to within frequency. Because you respond to your body. When you get horny or randy or whatever you get, that's an autonomic response. You see?
Yes. So,
but if you take an outside stimulus to cause you to have an erection, that's a different construct, isn't it?
Yes.
But the outcome is the same, isn't it?
Yes. So
otherwise, you go to bed with blue balls, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can swing sugarcoat if you want to, but let's just get real with it and get on with it.
Yeah.
Get somewhere. Because once that becomes attained, then it becomes, you go, oh, you feel a little cramp in your stomach and you're rolling along and you're feeling a little pressure. Okay, I want to move my bowels. Okay, good. There's no problem there, is there?
Okay, are you there, Nelson? Someone's affected the phone or something. Let's see. So I put you on hold, and I'll call them back. Okay?
All right.
Okay, you there, Ion? Everybody
yeah.
there? Okay, everybody there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry.
You're low.
Yeah, just a second. Nelson is low?
How am I now?
Good.
Oh, much
better.
Better
now? Okay, great.
Yeah.
I don't mean for this... formula going through it over and over to be monotonous, but I don't think you feel that way about it.
What do you feel about it? Okay, come on, what's happening, Ion? Do you respond to his statement, or do you require another statement?
Let's have another statement.
Okay, so I'm just gonna let's have another statement.
Yeah, like go back to what you're talking about, your penis and the metaphor and fucking something else. Okay, the formula. How to get the, how to do the formula.
Well,
let's find out how to do it.
Formula is monotonous. That's the tail. If the formula is monotonous, that if the formula is monotonous, that would be the tail.
No, no, no. It's not monotonous to me. I just was basically saying.
You were asking Ion how to feel. Ion has no fucking feelings, okay?
Okay.
He didn't give a fuck. He can do one. He can drop rainwater for 2 million years, okay? So don't worry about Ion's feelings or whether it's boring. You want to get what you want, Nelson.
Okay.
Get at it.
Okay, yeah.
And we like that
so,
best of all, too.
So I want to go through the process that I'm going through again. That I've got written down, and then I can work on it and focus on it. So
now, here,
I first
here,
established my value.
Listen to your words. I want to go through what I've been through again. And we go, exactly. That's that looping process. You want to go through what you've gone through again. That's exactly what we're talking about. Hey, Nelson, that's the best working example so far of a frequency. Isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And frequencies are cyclical. It's a circle.
Yes. Right. It's exactly what a frequency does over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again. Now, your grandmother would say, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good,
So what you're trying to say is, I'm working in this parameter where I have a desire for an outcome that would please me. And so far, that outcome is eluding me. Okay? So you want to go through it again. And so typically what we would say with blithering idiots, not you, but other blithering idiots, we'd say, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. Or we'd say, pick something simpler. Pick something easier. Pick something that you don't, that doesn't give you an erection. Okay? Because if you take, because see, Bob can triangulate ice cream, but he's very interested in ice cream and achieving ice cream. So that's not the best thing to do with Bob. You see? Because he's all about the ice cream. But if you convert that into triangulating the money to pay for the ice cream, I didn't have a clue. I mean, they just hand him $20 and he gives it to the lady and he doesn't want change because he doesn't know what to do with it. Okay? I mean, and that sounds trite, but that's pretty much how it goes. And it said he's next. No matter how many people's in line, he's next. They know. this is going to be great and easy. Okay, so that's the representation of a frequency and polarity. And magnetism, all right? So Bob doesn't have to triangle it. He just decides, oh, yep, today's ice cream. Sometimes he has ice cream and he doesn't know it, okay? But it's that stray orgasm that he's not going to miss, you see? And that's good, okay? Now, that's the 99%ers version. But you're a 1%er, so we want to get you to another place. Another place would be to recognize the coefficient values that you're attaining. And if you do that, then guess what happens? You start getting closer and closer and closer, and it starts to make sense.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to think about it, okay? If something works out in your favor that you didn't have to think about, and that happens to you much. And you see? I mean, things sort of work for you. Well, that's nothing other than your frequency within a polarized field that has not been, doesn't have the malthesis of magnetism. Because you get a great big erection about something and it pushes it away. Because the excitement pushes it away. You see?
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here. You could apply that very same knowing to your formula. So we'll go through the formula. We don't have any problem with that. That's perfectly fine. It's great. We already think more of you than you think of you, so do better than you. We don't have a problem with that. So we'll go through it and play with it, but if it's where it's not working, you already know what doesn't work about it. You want to get the parts that do work. So we would say
yes,
you could work. We already told you you could work it backwards and play with it. And if you knew the value of A2 and you have this formulation or this working formula of step-by-step what to do, you have that down perfectly. There's no reason to go through it again and again and again. What if we said, if you know A2, what is A?
And, yeah, I can try
you
and
know the future value. Work your formula backwards to prove A, not what A is to be.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I
can
definitely
try it
that way. And
if you do it that way, you can tweak it until it's now it's known. Now your unknown variables prescribed are known. So you can make your formula work to fit it. Well, if you can work it backwards, if you can divide by it and get to the lowest common denominator, then you ought to be able to multiply by it and capitulate the unknown values, should you not?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, if it works,
we would say
if it works forward, it will work backwards. You'll be able to get back to A.
No, and it's not working forward, so work it backwards, baby. That takes it fresh and new. It takes the heatness out of the fire. And because, see, you're smart, and you know you're smart. You get it, and you know you get it. And it's a challenge, and it's great fun for you to play with it because you know the ramifications of the outcome are going to be splendiferous.
Yeah. All right,
see?
Well.
So
I'll...
anytime you want a big pile of money checks, you know to move the Dow 200 points, and that works out to about $200 million, doesn't it?
Yeah, if with the amount of, with the big position.
Sure helps if
okay.
You want some money checks, doesn't it?
Yeah, markets are fantastic if you know where they're going.
Well, but you do. That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. That's the point. See, the only reason they named it bulls and bears is so you could triangulate it. It's a bull market. No, it's a bear market. No, it's a bull market. No, it's a bear market. Okay. What's the top? What's the bottom? You got 3 points at any given time. Boom. No problem. You can watch the VIX. You can triangulate the VIX and have great fun. You can look at Dow Jones and know the December calls are short.
You just said something. You said you can. There's a top and there's a bottom, and you've got the 3 points. Were you referring to 3 specific points relative to the top and bottom, or 3 points being
the bull,
the three
bear, and the bottom of a market? Bull and bear, and then the top of a market. That's two essences of triangulation.
Okay. So, but for what I'm focusing on in with Forex, the 3 points can be 3 different pair prices.
Yes, but that shit isn't working for you. So soften it on something you don't care about so you can perfect it so then it becomes a known instead of a pining for. Because pining for will kick in magnetism, which will push the answer further into your now that you've not experienced yet, baby.
Okay.
See, we already know this. We're just trying to convince you, and we will, because you're good at this. See, because you'll play with it and play with it and play with it and play with it and play with it, and make an app for the fucking iPhone and make it an iGod and sell it so everybody can know what the market's going to do at any place. But it won't last long because they'll change the world because you know the answer. You see. If everybody won in Vegas, it wouldn't last long, would it?
No, that's for sure.
But you don't want to win every time. You just want to win every now and then.
Am I better off focusing on a different market other than the currencies?
No, we don't care. Just get something that just doesn't make you wild.
Okay.
See, you have a great erection about that. Well, it's clouding the whole direction. Magnetism sticking in and moving its future.
Does the process change?
We said there is no. The process does not change. We're just saying.
So,
if you got the hots for ice cream, for God's sake, don't triangulate ice cream. Triangulate vitamins or housework or crashing your computer or something that you'd rather not do. Well, that's what's done, isn't it?
If you were going to triangulate the Tao, what other figures could you use for the two other triangulation points?
Bull, bear, or the VIX.
Now, when you say bull or bear,
is it a bull market or is it a bear market? They set the market based on how many days it's been up, 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 or down, down, down. If it's retreating, they call it bears. If it's lunging forward, they call it bulls. They know which that is.
How do you turn that word into a triangulated point?
Oh, what the average is. The mark that calls it. The look up the definitions and see where the market would have to be for them to announce, oh, we're entering into a bear market or a bull market. There's a specific formula they use to tell that. It's down so many points in so many days, it goes from a bull market to a bear market.
Okay.
I mean, those are not just glib. They're not just glib catchwords. They have to support it, and they always bring in the futures. See what it's going to, all right? But those contracts expire and change, obviously, but that doesn't affect you really, really, really. What it does is it opens up so you could just have another place to triangulate. You knew where the epicenter of the volcano was or the earthquake was. After it occurs, it'd be easy as pie to triangulate 3 points if you knew where the epicenter is, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But they don't have that. It occurs, and then they have to gauge the epicenter based on 3 triangulatable points. But, fuck, after the fact, it's pretty painlessly easy, isn't it? After you have an orgasm, you know where the seed is, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, that's a given. So then that would become the representation of a triangulated frequency of ah. Okay, well, we like ah. That's good. Ah means this is where it was, and you could triangulate that position. Then you could go back and see what it is that gave you the erection. Then you could go back and see what drove you to rub one out, as it were. Then it simplifies the whole process, baby. We just want you laid. And it makes no difference how you go about it, meaning how you decide or draw some pretty little vixen to engage or play with. Good, but that you have to be careful because they just want your money checked. That's triangulation too. Then you can make it just be for the fun. Well, it should be, or you shouldn't do it anyway. And you can do the very same thing and control or rule the whorehouse or the forex. But you'll find at the end of the day, there's not much difference.
Okay, so I'd like to go through the way that I've got my progression through the formula written down now.
Go ahead.
Okay. So first thing I'm doing is I'm establishing A, B, and C values based off the 3 pairs. I don't replicate any currencies in those 3 pairs.
That's correct.
So U.S.
So
dollars
you
never
You're right. You wouldn't use dollar, pound, dollar, euro, dollar, yuan. Wouldn't use
exactly
one half. Those should be individual. Now, once you get good at it, baby, once you get good at it, you can. But that's graduate work.
Okay. Now, I solve for the angles A, B, and C by right justifying the triangles.
Good. Setting those angles, yes, and your right justification. From angle to angle to angle, with effect, you have to compensate for what you're shifting to balance the right angle, obviously.
Yes.
Yes.
And, yes, That's known. Originally, I end up with 6 angles, 3 of which are A, B, and C.
Very good. or two triangles connected to make it a right justification, and
yes,
you subtract the second triangle. Now, we're being literal, and we're trying to help you because you're doing it by the picture, and that's the reason we said you're right in your words, but we said see it as another triangle because then you'll have other applications for that smaller sliver that you use
okay.
to right justify. That'll come.
Or sometimes the right justified section it becomes is bigger.
Maybe, depending on your angle, but yes. And then you can find out. Then you'll use that triangle to extend your tangent in the past, and you'll be able to calculate B4.
Okay. And now, at this point, so I know my angles at this point.
You swallowed that one and go,
should I then approach a piece of paper and map out the distance of my tangent? So, for example, in this case, I'm looking out 5 days.
That's fine. Don't worry about 5 days. You're just setting a second tangent. And then once you get the amplitude or the period of the waves, it could just as easily be 5 minutes, 5 years. 500 years. Makes no difference. That's why
okay.
that doesn't matter because there's not any. But it does have to do with the amplitude within a specified field. Got it?
Yeah.
You set it
so
whatever
right
you want.
Now, for this example, my, let me just look at where C is placed. My C number is 1.27707. I've placed that point on graph paper 12.7 blocks over. Now, is that a problem?
But no. Yeah, it's a problem. Because you can't gauge your points. It's not at 0.7. And even your 0.7 isn't exact. We've said move your decimal until you make your boxes a whole even number, so it wouldn't have to be a guess. Because what you're playing is horseshoes and hand grenades.
Now, the biggest where this can impact the formula in the biggest way based on the intersection points where they land relative to the triangle.
Well, duh.
Correct?
Yeah,
so as long as as long as you've got your intersection points landing gaugeably in the triangle.
Well, but
the
gauge Nelson. You're describing perfectly the Monty Python Life of Brian. That's what you're laying out, and it's ridiculous. Get precise, get exact, and you're going to have these numbers to the millionth decimal point. Okay, then fuck. Take it to the millionth decimal point. You can, your perspective and ratio, we've done this 100 times, but don't say I'm going to get it close, because then your answer is going to be close. Well, you don't want it close when you're talking about to a millionth of a pip, for Pete's sake. There's not this room for woo-woo crap. We're talking about exact.
So
10,000 pip.
Here are the three numbers, okay? A is 1.29819. B is 0.95592. And C is 1.27707. How
move
do I...
How? Take those. Don't how it. Take those and move the decimal points, each one to make them a whole number, a whole integer. It may only be divisible by itself, but make it the same.
Yeah.
Now, you move it 8 places. Good. You know how to do that if you have the equation. You can move it back once you get your answer, can't you?
Yes. So
well,
in order to...
A is 1.782376, blah, blah, blah. And A2 is 1.68684431. Okay, you can move that decimal over after you got it into whole integers. may be divisible only by themselves, but that's okay. Because everything at least is divisible by itself, and it may have multiples, but that's not the point. You can consolidate it down to the lowest common denominator within the frequency prescribed with the tangents that are considered of what A2 is to B. Nelson, come on, baby. Now, we're helping you here. Did you get that?
Yes,
you have A, and then you want to know the relationship from what A is to B. Well, B2 is where?
B2.
Yeah.
B2 would be on the tangent along the lower line of the triangle.
Right. That's what we're saying. And see, you would listen to our words and say to be is in T-O-B-E. Well, we're not saying that. We're saying what A is to B.
Yes.
And B
to the point B.
Yeah, to the point B. So if you could calculate that, that's your way to cross-check your work. Because then
yes.
You see the same triangle that you write justified would actually be used. The measurement gauge would prove your A2 equivalent. That's that's not been said before.
As A and B travel to the right along the way, not along the triangle.
Yes.
They are, let me just think about that. They're not necessarily, are they always necessarily traveling? Are they always maintaining their points along the lines of the triangle, or they can move vertically
vertically, but perspective won't change because you're not dealing with line segments, you're dealing with angles, baby. See, remember why the right just to see? So it makes no difference where you hit it. The angle should be the same, or at least the equivalent. I mean, if you get too many degrees, you know you're off, don't you?
So how do I take a number that is that large to take a number that's that large and convert it into anything that's visual or drawable is extremely difficult.
No, it is not extremely difficult. Take the whole number that's divisible by itself then see if there's a number that all of them are divisible by that ends up with a whole integer. And if that becomes the case, you know how to do that. You can add all three of the values up and divide it by three, and then you know exactly what it's divisible by, wouldn't you?
Yes, but that's only in the case that there is that.
Well, but there's very rare times that it is not. And if then you can make each point, valued at 178,436,000.
So
you can make each block have that value as or. If it divides by 2 and everything divides by 2, great. If it divides by 1,000, everything by 1,000. You can pull it back from your values, but you want to have it to be able to hit on the exact point so that your visual bias won't be obfuscating the vibrational frequency that some 0.33877321. You couldn't plot that anyway.
Mm-hmm. So to add up A, B, and C and then divide it by a number that leaves it whole.
Yeah.
And that would be the number that you could base each block's width by and height.
That's right. That's easy. That's why JW is able to do it in his head. Because it doesn't matter how big the number is, if you find the largest number that's divisible by, you always move it to the lowest common denominator. And if you got one half, and one half, well, one half is 50. Okay, you may call it 0.50, but it's still 50. So 50, 50, 50, okay. We're okay. he just runs those numbers.
So, like, for example, if I remove the decimal with these numbers, so 1.298819 would just become 129,819.
Exactly.
And then add the next number to it, which would just be 95,592, and then add C, which is 127,707.
Right.
I get a number that's 350.
Okay. Right.
353,118.
Okay. Now, what you want to do, you know that number is divisible by that number, and you get one, correct?
Yes.
So each block would have that value. Okay, fine. One. One block, one. But you have individual angles that you would then take and find the largest number that that equivalent is divisible by, and ending
yes,
with an even number.
That's the greatest common denominator.
The greatest common denominator that becomes the lowest, the most simple. You're trying to bring
yes.
it down to simpleness.
So,
and if you can
is
only,
there a calculation?
If it's only divisible by itself, you haven't done very much to help you, but at least you know
no,
that.
Exactly.
But you know that. That's the point.
It's divisible by 2.
Okay, good. And so therefore it may be divisible by 4. It ends in 18. It may be divisible by 9. Do you see? And you can do that. That's high school shit.
Yeah. Okay, so to find the
fraction
yeah.
and then reduce it.
Okay, and then when you find that number,
that
number will work for all three sides?
Well, of course it will. But what you're trying to calculate is the value for each block.
Yes.
So you don't have to have 178 million fucking bars on your graph to count. You know, each block is divided up by the number of blocks that it is. So each block could might be 10,000. Well, if each block represents 10,000 or a number, then your graph doesn't have to be the size of Montana, which is what you're trying to figure out. And we say, that's fine. Makes no difference if one block's worth 2 or 200 million. If it lands exactly in the graph, it won't change the frequency, and then you'll be able to plot it without any visual bias. You won't be guessing, as it were. You see?
Does it make sense to... you can't do it this way. I was going to say, does it make sense to pick A when it's at a whole number on the chart?
No, that's ridiculous.
No.
Okay. Then you'd be working it backwards, and if that works, it's no problem. But the best you're going to get is calculate what the price of a cantaloupe is going to be at the market next Tuesday. And if you had that knowing, it wouldn't make much difference, would it?
So I see what if it doesn't. Let's say none of them have a common denominator. Okay, let's say
they'd have to. If you take three numbers and add them together, you have a common denominator, those numbers. Even if it's only divisible by itself. You're going to have
no,
a
I mean
common
a common denominator.
Denominator
other than itself.
Well, that,
but
that,
like, for example,
no, that doesn't apply. That's what you're doing it for, is to find that out.
Okay, so as long as you add them together and then find your largest common denominator, you can space your blocks out based on that denominator.
Yeah, and that makes it easy, so you don't have to, it answers the question that you're saying, I can't have 100 million billion blocks. And if I did,
yeah.
I couldn't count them. But if it was 100, let's say it was a trillion, and each block was a billion, you could work that out, couldn't you?
Yes.
Well,
so,
and if it ended up exactly on the same dot, dot, dot as those values, then you would be precisely exact as in geometry. Because you get what you're doing, so good. That's, yeah.
Okay, so quickly I'm going to go. Bob, I'm pretty short for time, am I? 5-10 minutes here?
I think it's around 15 minutes. It was 42 minutes about 3 minutes ago, I think. So, you know,
okay.
Say 14 minutes, something like that.
Okay.
You're okay. Go ahead, baby.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to continue going through what I have. Okay. So that, so solve for angles ABC and justifying the triangle. After
yep.
that, I'm going to put in, find the largest common denominator. Oh, no, even before that. Really.
Even before that. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Good. You have your formula perfected. You're just fine-tuning the ability and capacity to redefine exactness. Now, we're going to say it again, whether you know it or not or like it or not, that's about ratio and perspective. Ratio and perspective
yep.
has exactly been the only bump. And it's a good bump because we don't want you drunk on your own liquor. You see, we don't want you drunk on your own liquor. We want you to be very precise so that you can be a god and go into your little hole. Stay out of the fucking media.
Yeah, that's the plan. So,
well,
okay.
We
so,
don't care how big your dick is. We just don't want you to show everybody. Oh, yeah, they had a few dollars here or there. Bullshit. You don't know what money is. But we're gonna. When you get there, we want you to go softly and easily with it so that you don't blow yourself up just for fun, for shits and giggles.
Yeah, exactly.
It sets
well, yeah,
a pattern.
I mean, the difference between millions and billions is huge.
Well, fuck billions. That's ridiculous. That's Buffettism. They're going to have a drug for a vaccine for Buffettism. Buffett is what you do to a child when you're trying to correct it. No, get to the quadrillions, baby. Then we'll play.
Well, there you go. Okay, so after you find the largest common denominator for the three values, you can solve for angles A, B, and C by right justifying the triangles.
Yep.
And then draw the triangle with proper side ratios.
Correct.
And then establish the B1-A1 tangent. So you establish your tangent that A2 and B2 are going to fall on or
well,
end up on.
Well, apply to, but yeah.
Apply to. Okay, yeah. And
that if
tangent.
You say it that way, you might, see, the way you said it, you could miss.
Yes.
That's
so that tangent is plotted out to the right of your original tangent.
Yeah.
And it is plotted based on the amount of time or days that you are looking for your results to be in.
Yes, and you set that as well.
Yes, so like if you were looking 5 days out or 3 days out, you could have your tangent placed at 12 blocks over.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like where the tangent is placed isn't as important as where it is relative to A and C. Like, for example,
Don't explain it, because if you explain it, you're going to screw it up. Don't explain it.
Okay.
Just go
okay.
right, and then go, okay, and then move from there. Because
okay,
see,
so let's say my largest common denominator ends up being 2,000 or 1,000. Okay?
Got it.
And I have to go over 20 blocks for C, to plot C. And I'm doing a 3-day projection. Could I put that tangent at 15 blocks over?
You could. It wouldn't affect the frequency of it, yes.
Where is the optimal? Is the optimal place to place the tangent? You can place the tangent no matter how far C is to the right of the original vertical x, y axis.
That's right. That's right.
Okay,
that's right. That's right. See, and then when you're looking at this, and you're going to kick yourself in the ass when you figure this out, because you're going to go, well, I spent a couple of damn months making the simplest thing ever, ever, ever hard. That's all that's taking place. And it's not a problem, because once you're there, you ain't going to notice or care. You'll be so happy about it, it won't make any difference, you see.
Yeah. Now, I've got, next I've got establish the B1A1 tangent and A2, B2, and the box. The box was the two horizontal lines that connect A and B with
the
tangent.
Now, wait. Now, that would be the center. That would be the center of the toilet paper tube, remember? The center,
yes,
that goes across between the two tangents. So that would divide the peaks and trough of your sine, cosine waves. And that's like a little dotted line, like they do in plane geometry. You know, it's the imaginary middle. So you can say,
yes,
this is a up one. So this is a 2 pi plus 1. This is a 3 pi minus 2. This is a 4 pi plus 1. This is a 5 pi minus 3. You see, that's the way you can gauge it. And that's not the most important part, except be precise about it till you get your feet wet.
Okay.
If
yeah,
you ever learn how to, if you ever have to learn how, if you ever learn how to fuck, you won't need a manual. Well, now that's glib, but it's the case. You see,
uh-huh,
it becomes normal. That's right. Good. Or let's say ride a bicycle or some other bullshit, something that nobody does. But you know, you want to get something pregnant, then you'll be on it. Then you'll be on the right path.
I guess you've got a lot of advice to pick up hot women, eh?
You don't pick them up, they flock to you.
So in order to get them to flock to you.
Oh, it's
ion dating advice. You could do a whole dating advice.
Well, we'd get you laid. It's what we'd get you. I mean, straight
maybe
up.
Maybe another session.
Yeah. Well, if you can figure out how to do that, triangulation's a piece of cake. Because, see, the draw is not the outcome. The draw is, you might call it confidence, you might call it a superlative, you might see, as you see yourself within that frequency, that's where people will embrace you. So is
mm-hmm.
triangulation. You see, because now once you come into your place of power, you've got to realize very quickly that your vibration is going to have the biggest outcome on the triangulated position. And you want some proof of that? Okay, go by, place an order for a quadrillion euros long. See what happens to your goddamn market. You'll see. Well, you could calculate that. Remember, supply and demand?
Yeah.
You literally would take the entire euro system out of itself, and you'd have all the euros that are, but everyone who had a euro, it would be worth how many more pennies worth more as far as an exchange. Same thing. Pretty pussy's no different, baby.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we don't know else how to say it other than just that. Now, once
yeah.
you catch it, you got to know what to do with it. All right. So, if you place that order, you got to know what to do with it. So, because there's a lot of people that'll chase it, and they like to chase it, but they don't know what to do when they catch it. So, we're saying chase it, catch it, and then pluck it. Same way with your Forex,
uh-huh.
baby. Chase it, catch it, pluck it. Make it moan a little bit. Make it squeal. You do it right, it'll warm up to you. And that's what we're talking about here, because that is absolutely no different than conquering an entire industry. It's what didn't happen to MF Global.
After MF, I'll search that MF Global. After the
somebody made money. Hey! Somebody made some money checks on that one. Somebody made some money checks on MF Global. explain to you.
On after the box, do you want me to ask you who?
Well, we won't answer.
No, that's what I thought. That's what I did. Okay, so after the box, what I do is I put one circle centered on. Oh no! After that, I find the center of the triangle.
Good. That's right. Epicenter. That's epicenter. Now we said center. All right, we said center, and we will change that. But then you'll redefine that more perfectly as the epicenter. And that, and you know how to do that, and the way you're doing that is exactly correct and appropriate. Good. Don't variegate. You're doing fine.
Okay, the right angle.
We've been through that. That's right. We've been through that shit because you find it the center, but then when you remove the other triangle, you realize that the epicenter might be in what may not be in the middle of the three triangulated positions. You see?
Yes, exactly.
Good. And you got that by dividing those line segments exactly. And then when you remove it, then c'est la guerre.
Yeah, right now, the epicenter is based off of you find the center of each line segment and you put a
the right justified line segment.
Oh yes, the right. Oh, I gotta write that down. Of the right justified triangle. Yeah, that was it. Okay.
And then you subtract you have to subtract what you write justified. Then you realize that epicenter may not be in the middle of the new triangle. You say the ABC.
Exactly.
And that's why it's critical. And that gives you your radiuses that you'll calculate your sine and cosines from. That'll set the radiuses of your toilet paper tubes that you're going to pull sine and cosine waves from. Then your amplitude won't always be the same, and your wavelengths won't always be the same.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You'll have adjusted. That's right. And now that was a little bitty thing, and we could have just told you, but we'd rather you know it. Because if you know it, then you can say, oh, Ion, I knew this. And we say, fabulous. Now you're getting the boys happy.
So then the next thing is, I already did the, what's up, Bob?
Did you hear the blink?
Yeah, I heard you coming.
No, yeah, it's a bit over now, so you can wind down, but you got one more point you want to make?
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly go through the rest of this, and then I'm done.
Well, you only got another minute or so do it fast or whatever.
Okay, I will. Okay, locate the epicenter of the right justified triangle, right angle at the line centers. Okay, so that's in brackets. Then the box is already drawn out.
Yep.
So then I put a circle centered on A, intersecting the center of the the epicenter. A circle
basically
centered on B, intersecting
based on the correct radians or radiuses of those circles. Good. We don't miss that. But yeah.
Okay. And then same for C.
Mm-hmm.
Then I do sine A, cos A.
Yep.
And then sine A, cos B.
Yep.
And take those answers.
Yep.
And
then
plot
your formula that you know. Yep.
And then plot the intersection points that land between the A and B1 tangent. I mean the B1 and A1 tangent.
B1, A1, yeah.
Plot the intersection points that land between A and the B1, A1 tangent. Notice any intersection points that land in the triangle. Multiply the X and Y coordinates of the A intersection points that land in the triangle. Divide this by the number of intersection points between A and B and the B1, A1 tangent.
Two tangents, very good.
Between the two tangents, yeah, I could just say that. Okay, you do the same for B. Okay?
Yep.
Take the answers from the two separate processes above and divide A over B.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if this amount is negative, it's divided by the Maybank rate.
Very
if
good.
It's positive, it's divided into the Maybank rate.
Into the Maybank rate. That's correct.
Then you find
that for you too, because we've got rates at such a level that your integers are going to be so small that it makes it actually much easier just for you.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, you had
different ramification, the numbers could get crazy. Well, go back to the days of Paul Volcker. Probably blow your brains out, but yeah.
Then you do sine to the negative 1 times C and cos to the negative 1 times C.
Yep.
And then
run it in reverse.
And then run it
forward,
the reverse.
The original AB tangent. Good.
Then you plot the intersection points that land between AB and the B1A1 tangent. Notice any intersections that land in the triangle. Draw a horizontal line.
Right, and the median, and that's your new x-axis.
Yes. Now, you draw a horizontal line through the intersection points that land the most in the triangle.
That is correct.
Or land in between the two tangents if you just have one.
Right, and it could. That's right, and it could be. And if you did that, then you'd notice that your x-axis would stay the same. You see.
Yes.
If you divided those points. And sometimes that's the case. It stays the same. Then you'd notice, and then, like if you were plotting Euro, you may have a day where it's flat or unchanged. Well, that's the day that your x-axis wouldn't shift.
So the x-axis basically ends up adjusting up or down relative to the wave height of C.
No, the intersection height. The perspective with where C is into your right justified angle. See?
Okay. If C intersects, if C has an intersection point that is above the x-axis.
Yes. Yes.
That's where your x-axis moves to.
If it's the most intersection. Right, and if it's the same, then it's moved. You just divide this distance, which would make it about where x is anyway. But you got to be precise, because sometimes it could move a pip or one block, you see. Well, that would affect your outcome. So you'd be very precise about that.
And then you take the shift in x, and you add it, if it's above, you'd add it to the result of that Maybank rate calculation.
And then you plot that new calculation based on the new x, and then that'll give you the A2 value. Good. That's exactly right, Nelson.
Okay, so, for example, let's say the new C bumped up, you would take how much it moved up the y-axis. If that number was, let's say, 5, you'd take the result of the Maybank rate calculation and add 5 to it.
2.
Okay.
All done, all good?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Don.
We still love you better than you love you.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, indeed, indeed, indeed. Therefore, we are totally, deliciously, happily, and forever, Ernest Hemingway.